Tragically, Joseph's family was marked by dysfunction. In fact, it's not an exaggeration to say Joseph was in an abusive relationship with his brothers. Today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll exposes a side to his story that's often glossed over, yet cannot be ignored. His brothers not only bullied Joseph, they attempted to kill him. Even so, woven throughout Joseph's life are obvious signs of God's master plan. And the outcome reminds us that God has a plan for your life, too. Chuck titled today's message, An Abused Man and His Brothers. We begin with prayer.
Our Father, when we uncover the truth, it's like discovering a treasure in a vault that has not been opened before. It's like walking into the most beautiful setting that we couldn't have even imagined. And to think that it is coming from the life of a man whose brothers wanted to kill him, who sold him into slavery and abandoned him. But you never left him. In fact, you raised him up to become the wind beneath their wings, to give them food to survive and hope for the rest of their days. Teach us, Lord, break through the traditional thinking that has shaped us and scarred us all these years, and then free us to soar with Joseph into new heights of relief and recovery. Use our gifts, we pray, as we give them to you with hearts full of gratitude for seeing us through all those things that others did intending to harm us, but you are there. You are bringing glory out of all of that pain. Thank you for the privilege of learning today what we must believe and live by. Through Christ, we give our gifts and we express this prayer. And everyone said, Amen.
You're listening to Insight for Living. To search the scriptures with Chuck Swindoll, be sure to download his Searching the Scriptures studies by going to insightworld.org/studies. And now the message from Chuck called An Abused Man and His Brothers.
Today is the story of an abused 17-year-old boy. According to Genesis chapter 37, we know precisely that is his age. So as I've asked you all along, put yourself in the sandals of each person we meet and imagine you're 17-year-old, or when you were 17, still in your formative years, out of the blue, because of jealousy, since he was the father's favorite, being the youngest in the family, the brothers hated him and decided to murder him. None of it known to Joseph, of course. As Joseph makes his way to where they all were, they ambush him, discuss how to kill him, throw him in a cistern, with plans to take his life until one says, no, we can make some money out of this. And they see a caravan coming from Canaan going to Egypt, and they think, well, let's sell him. We don't know what scars Joseph lived with or how the Ishmaelites in that caravan treated their slave. So they bring him to Egypt. Egypt. How different from where he had been. In the quiet, quaint little village where he lived with his father Jacob and his brothers, he is now thrust into a country who speaks a language he doesn't know, who observe customs he's never observed, and worshiping gods of other names with strange animal faces in this weird setting, fast-paced Egypt. He's a slave, bought by Pharaoh's captain of the guard named Potiphar, put into the house as a house slave. What a shock. From favored son to forgotten boy. From pampered child to enslaved young man, unknown, living now with his memories and looking up into the night sky with no moon. How easy it would have been for him to nurse a grudge and to lick his wounds as he rehearsed the abuse, none of which was deserved. I've looked and looked and looked and looked. Not one reference to a lingering hatefulness or statement of revenge or moment to get even. He's 17, 18, 19, 20. No daddy, no family, no Canaan. He's a tool in the hand of a seductive woman who attempts to seduce him and make him her sex slave. Doesn't even fall for that. She accuses him of rape. Her husband believes her. Maybe. But he puts him in the king's prison and leaves him. When you get toward the end of the story in chapter 50, he says to his brothers, you intended to harm me. I know that. I knew what you were doing when it happened. He's not in denial. You meant it to be for evil, but my God, greater than all of us, and the whole world put together intended it for good. Well, we left him in prison a moment ago, so we'll go back, and he's forgotten. He is. He's a model prisoner, not surprising. He wins the heart of the warden. He wins over the friendship of fellow inmates. And when you read through the story, it's like, good night. What kind of a guy is this? And he, in fact, helps two of his inmates with dreams they have. And He interprets them, and they take that information, and it gets them relieved from prison. He said, wait, before you leave, before you go out of the cell, just remember me. Don't forget me. So he's very human. I'd like to be out of this place. And they forgot him. One of them especially did, went right on about his business. The other one was killed. And the one that lived on because of Joseph forgot about Joseph. And here he is left in this Egyptian dungeon. What must that have been like? All the abuse, all the wrong, all the false accusation, all the previous years, all of it, and he's forgotten. Not a word of bitterness. Not one. This man is living large, the life of a believer. I serve a faithful God who knows everything and has a plan beyond what I could ever imagine. It's an epical event. No one could have predicted. Now, fast forward to Pharaoh. Pharaoh has dreams. He can't find the answers. He gets word that there's an inmate in one of the prisons that might be able to help. And Joseph comes and stands before Pharaoh and gives him the answer. A famine is coming. You must store up grain because it will be a famine that covers the earth. You must be prepared. And Pharaoh knows this is the correct interpretation. So out of the blue, read it for yourself. Chapter 41, verse 37. Joseph's suggestions were well received by Pharaoh and his officials. So Pharaoh asked his officials, can we find anyone else like this man, so obviously filled with the Spirit of God? That's Pharaoh talking. Hey, this guy's got the Spirit of God. Listen to these answers. God has revealed the meaning of the dreams to you. Clearly, no one else is so intelligent or wise. You will be in charge of my court, and all my people will take orders from you. Here's an epical event no one could have imagined. Here's a man still in inmate garb hearing, you will be sitting on my throne or beside me on my throne. Only I will have a position higher. Verse 41, Pharaoh said to Joseph, I hereby put you in charge of the entire land of Egypt. Whoa! Head spinning, but that's not all. Look, he pulled his credit card from his hand. Well, it says signet ring from his hand. And he placed it in Joseph's hand and said, the wealth is all yours. Spend it. You're in charge. He dressed him in linen clothing and hung a gold chain around his neck. Then I love this. Then he had Joseph ride in the chariot reserved for his second in command. And wherever Joseph went, the command was shouted. The Hebrew says, bow the knee. Bow the knee. You're in the presence of second in command, the prime minister of the land. Pharaoh said to him, I'm Pharaoh. No one will lift a hand or foot in the entire land of Egypt without your approval. That's a pretty good job description. And by the way, verse 46 tells us a very important detail. He was 30 years old. Do the math. 17 to 30. Nothing but brokenness, abuse, mistreatment, foul language, inappropriate claims against him, thrown in prison out of an accusation that was not true, left there and forgotten. 13 years until this moment. Here he is, dressed like royalty, having gone through all of that that was so unfair and undeserved. He's now sought out, admired, honored, and promoted by the Pharaoh of Egypt. Average person is going to think, hot dog. Wait till my brothers are starving and come to me for food. Just wait. But he doesn't. Matter of fact, we're not left to wonder. The famine spread through all the earth, last verse of the chapter. So naturally, the guys in Canaan are starving. Daddy says to the boys, you got to go to Egypt. I hear there's a man that's got the key to the granary. We got to get some, we got to buy some grub. We got to be able to survive. So he sends his boys. He keeps the youngest. And chapter 45, cut to the chase. Joseph has messed with them back and forth. They don't know who he is. This is what makes the story so interesting. He knows who they are, but they don't know who he is. I love stories like this where I read something and they don't know it, and I talk to them. I say, you guys don't know about what's going on here. And you only knew, but they don't know. So they're standing there with their hat in their hand, and they're begging for food, and Joseph is back here. Finally, can't take it any longer. Look at 45. Verse 1. He could stand it no longer. Sent everybody out of the room. He's alone with his brothers. Is this great or what? Is this terrific moment? And he calls them up. He says, hey, guys, come here. I'm Joseph. Well, those brothers didn't know whether to spit or wind their watch. They're looking up, and they're like, oh, Lord, have mercy on me. He is going to slice my neck open. I won't know it till I sneeze. He is going to do it quick. But he doesn't. I'm Joseph. Is Daddy okay? Is he still alive? Yeah, that's fine. Okay. They still don't believe it. Verse 4, come closer. I'm Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into slavery. Yeah, we got that. But he says, don't be upset. Don't be angry with yourselves. Isn't that an amazing statement? Who's the one that's supposed to be angry? The abused. Unless, of course, his God's greater than his pain. Look at what he says. Here's the reason I tell you not to be angry or fearful. It was God who sent me here ahead of you to preserve lives. End of verse 5. This famine that has ravaged the land for 2 years will last 5 more years. Verse 7. God sent me here. Verse 8. Sounds like a broken record. It was God who sent me here, not you. You weren't in charge. You thought you were, but you weren't. God brought me here to be the manager of Pharaoh's land, and he made me master over all of it. He's trying to break through all of their preconceived notion that he would respond to them like they would have responded to him had he been in their sandals. He says, no. That's not who I am. It is God who has made all of this happen. Look at this. All this beauty and wealth and royalty. Guys, it's our God who's done this. There is no... Now, stay with me in this, because we're all enamored of today's teachings about how you cannot get away from those scars and the emotional abuse and all of the memories. Look, Joseph, it's God. He delivered me. God got me out of prison. God got me out of slavery. God got me in front of Pharaoh. God gave me the answer to dreams. God's responsible for my promotion. Who am I to judge you? Look, I have a chance to feed the world with grain because of God who has been at work in my life. In fact, he says it down in verse 9, end of the verse, God has made me master over all the land of Egypt. Verse 12, then Joseph added, look, come up here close. You can see for yourselves that I really am Joseph. Look, probably pulled his headpiece off. Look closely. I'm your brother. But the best part of all, I am here because of what God has done in spite of you.
Well, the story is still unfolding. I'll urge you to be listening again when Chuck Swindoll continues this brand new study. His message is titled, An Abused Man and His Brothers, and this is Insight for Living. To learn more about the ministry of Insight for Living, visit us online at insightworld.org. Chuck's Bible teaching originates from our international headquarters in Frisco, Texas, but I can assure you this program would never make it outside the state without the support of our monthly companions and all those who give voluntary donations. Our monthly companions give a donation every month in the amount they deem most appropriate. And in doing so, they're providing the fuel needed for taking Insight for Living all across North America and around the world. Maybe today's the day you'll step forward and become a monthly companion too. It's quite simple when you call one of our friendly ministry representatives. If you're listening in the United States, dial 1-800-772-8888. That's 1-800-772-8888. Or you can sign up online at insight.org/monthly companion. Let me encourage you with a sample of what we hear from people who benefit from your generosity. We received a brief note from Tennessee that said, Chuck, recently I experienced a painful marriage separation with betrayal, unfaithfulness, and deception. It was your teaching on forgiveness and God's grace that brought so much light to the darkness. Today, I'm free from hate, bitterness, and resentment. No more chains holding me. Thanks. Well, as a financial partner, you play a role in touching this listener's life. Thank you for your generous support.
I will never forget the first time Cynthia and I drove around the bend and we saw the holy city for the very first time. It literally took our breath away.
And now you can see Jerusalem for yourself with Chuck and Cynthia Swindoll on the Insight for Living Ministries Israel Tour, March 1st through 12th, 2020.
My first trip to Israel was much later in life than it should have been. I've never regretted that journey or any of those that followed. In fact, I wish that it all happened sooner.
Imagine hearing the Bible teaching you've come to respect on Insight for Living on location in Israel. Call 888-447-0444.
No pastor, no follower of Christ should ever pass up an opportunity to see and to touch and to fall in love with the very places where biblical history unfolded.
You have lots of choices, but there's only one tour with Chuck Swindoll and Insight for Living Ministries, March 1st through 12th, 2020. Call 888-447-0444 or visit us online at insight.org/events. The Insight for Living tour to Israel is paid for and made possible by only those who choose to attend. I'm Dave Spiker, inviting you to join us again Tuesday when Chuck Swindoll celebrates a redemptive outcome for Joseph and his brothers, right here on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, An Abused Man and His Brothers, and the sound recording were copyrighted in 2019 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.